Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of M&A Today. My name is Warren Rose, and I am a senior partner at Grosch, Rose & Moore, LLC. And once again, I'm your host for the next 30 minutes, not only today, but every Friday at noon Eastern. Okay, maybe not every Friday. We will not be broadcasting on Friday, November 29th, or Friday, December 27th. For those of you who listen every week, please make note of that. By the way, you can always go back and listen to broadcasts that you've missed or ones that you'd like to hear again. Wow, can you believe it? This is already our 14th episode. We feel so fortunate that we have an ever-increasing audience and such a loyal listening base. With that being said, we appreciate everyone who has listened live, downloaded our previous broadcast, and sent in questions. It's really great having you as a part of the broadcast. Keep sending me your ideas, comments, and questions, and if I don't get to them live on the air, I will respond via email. The purpose of this broadcast is to not only educate and inform those of you within the industry, but to give an insight into the advantages of using a professional M&A firm for businesses within the middle market segmentation. Everything we talk about in these broadcasts support the fact that no matter what life stage your company is in or financial necessities you may have, it pays to have a professional M&A consulting firm help you navigate the process and avoid the missteps that so many people encounter if trying to go it alone. Let's get started. Today's episode is titled Most Common Types of Mergers and Acquisitions. Today I will discuss the most common types of M&A and give you a real-world example for most of them. Mergers and acquisitions occur every day in the business world for a variety of different reasons. Corporate restructuring is going on all the time. If you look in the newspaper, chances are there will at least be one announcement of a merger or acquisition. In a world of small and medium-sized business, acquisitions and divestments are also happening all the time, even if we rarely hear about them. It is simply the nature of business, and the ultimate aim is to either grow and/or divest at the expense of another or with their mutual support. On M&A Today, I'm going to start with the five most common types of business combinations known as mergers. They are conglomerate merger, horizontal merger, market extension merger, vertical merger, and product extension merger. The term chosen to describe the merger depends on the economic function, the purpose of the business transaction, and the relationship between the two merging companies. So let's start off with conglomerate. A merger between firms that are involved in totally unrelated business activities. There are two types of conglomerate mergers, pure and mixed. Pure conglomerate mergers involve firms with nothing in common, while mixed conglomerate firms involve firms that are looking for product extension or market extensions. As an example, a leading manufacturer of athletic shoes merges with a soft drink company. The resulting company is faced with the same competition in each of its two markets after the merger as individual firms before the merger. One example of a conglomerate merger was the merger between Walt Disney Company and the American Broadcasting Company. Next, we'll take a look at horizontal mergers. A merger occurring between companies in the same industry. Horizontal mergers, that's a business consolidation that occurs between firms who operate in the same space, often as competitors offering the same goods or services. Horizontal mergers are common in industries with fewer firms, as competition tends to be higher and the synergies and potential gains in the market share are much greater for emerging firms in such an industry. An example of that would be a merger between Coca-Cola and the Pepsi beverage division, for example, would be horizontal in nature. It's never going to happen, but that could be the case. The goal of a horizontal merger is to create a new, larger organization with more market share. Because the merging company's business operations may be very similar, there may be opportunities to join certain operations, such as manufacturing, and reduce costs. These redundancies that I'm talking about are overlaps in cost. They could save a lot of money, perhaps on marketing, production, even distribution of their products. Another example are market extension mergers. A market extension merger takes place between two companies that deal in the same products but in separate markets. The main purpose of the market extension merger is to make sure that the merging companies can get access to a bigger market, and that ensures a bigger client base. An example of that would be, actually a very good example of market extension merger, is the acquisition of Eagle Bank Shares, Inc. by RBC Centura. Eagle Bank Shares is headquartered in Atlanta, Georgia, and has 283 workers. It has almost 90,000 accounts and looks after assets worth about $1.1 billion U.S. dollars. Eagle Bankshare also holds the Tucker Federal Bank, which is one of the 10 biggest banks in the metropolitan Atlanta region as far as deposit market share is concerned. One of the major benefits of this acquisition is that this acquisition enables the RBC to go ahead with its growth operations in the North American market. With the help of this acquisition, RBC has got a chance to deal in the financial market of Atlanta, which is among the leading upcoming financial markets in the U.S. This move would allow RBC to diversify its base of operations. Next, let's look at product extension mergers. A product extension merger takes place between two business organizations that deals in products that are related to each other and operate in the same market. The product extension merger allows the merging companies to group together their products and get access to a bigger set of consumers. This ensures that they will earn higher profits. An example of that would be the acquisition of Mobile Link Telecom, Inc. by Broadcom. That's a proper example of product extension merger. Broadcom deals in the manufacturing of Bluetooth personal area network hardware systems and chips for wireless LAN systems. Mobile Link Telecom, Inc. deals in the manufacturing of product designs meant for the headsets that are equipped with the Global System for Mobile Communications Technology. It is also in the process of being certified to produce wireless networking chips that have high speed and general packet radio service technology. It is expected that the products of Mobile Link Telecom, Inc. would be complementing the wireless products of Broadcom. Next, we'll move on to vertical mergers. A merger between two companies producing different goods or services for one specific finished product. A vertical merger occurs when two or more firms operating at different levels within an industry supply chain merge operations. Most often, the logic behind the merger is to increase synergies created by merging firms that would be more efficient operating as one. An example of that would be a vertical merger joins two companies that may not compete with each other but exist in the same supply chain. For instance, an automobile company joining with a parts supplier would be an example of a vertical merger. Such a deal would allow the automobile division to obtain better pricing on parts and have better control over the manufacturing process. The parts division, in turn, would be guaranteed a steady stream of business. The whole aspect of all of this is synergy. The idea is that the value and performance of two companies combined will be greater than the sum of the separate individual parts. That's one of the reasons, and one of the main reasons, why companies merge. We've once again come to that part of the broadcast where I get to tell you a few things about our firm, Grosch, Rose & Moore, LLC. We have always believed that our client approach sets us apart from our competition. First and foremost, we listen, and then take that knowledge, leveraged by our experience and vast contacts, to create the right fit. We then focus on what is important to you, your business, and any shareholders. We also strive to conduct ourselves in a manner that makes certain everyone is treated fairly and equitably. Really, regardless of who you contract with and what they do, you need an M&A advisory firm that not only has the knowledge and experience to get things done, but understands and cares about your business goals. So, if you are looking to buy, sell, consolidate, form a strategic alliance, or get a business valuation, or even a consultation, call me at 303-941-7865 or email me at wrose@groschrosemoore.com. Bottom line, we only want a fee if we've earned it. Whether it's on the buy or sell side, no deal, no fee. It's really that simple. Now let's talk about acquisitions for a bit. An acquisition is where one company takes control of another by purchasing its assets or the majority of its shares. There are five main types of acquisition. First being value creating. Value creating is where a company acquires another company, improves its performance, and then sells it again for a profit. It's basically flipping companies. The next is consolidating. This is where a company acquires another company to remove competition from an oversupplied marketplace. Next is accelerating. Accelerating is when a larger company acquires a smaller company and uses its general resources to accelerate market access for the smaller company's products. Next, you have resource acquiring. This is where a company acquires other companies to gain resources, skills, intellectual properties, technology, or marketing position they need, because it is most cost-effective than just developing it on their own. Speculating. This is the final one. Speculating is when a larger company acquires a smaller company with a new product. That is with the aim of cashing in on its future growth potential. If a company sees something really great on the horizon in the marketplace, they may want to jump on it, purchase that company, or at least merge with them, bring them in to help them in the future, by maybe launching something that is completely revolutionary or innovative in the marketplace. Along the lines of conversation today, I feel kind of compelled to talk to you about businesses involved in M&A. And this goes to what we've been chatting about earlier here. Much discussion and most news coverage of M&A activity focus on the action of larger and or publicly listed enterprises. In reality, M&A activity occurs as frequently, if not more so, in the marketplace with small and medium-sized businesses. They just don't get the same press, so we don't hear about it. But the number of transactions and the number of deals are far greater, actually exponential, to what you read about and hear about. When acquisitions involved smaller companies transacting with each other, most of the purchases fall into either the resource acquiring or accelerating categories that I talked about earlier. In this space, there are two main types of buyers. One is trade, the other is individual. The former refers to businesses buying businesses, and the latter to individuals buying businesses. Buyer motivation and perception of value in this space depends on what problem they want to solve or what opportunity they want to take advantage of. Some typical reasons why smaller entities acquire other businesses include geographic scale, that's to enter into a new geographical market, market extension, which is to acquire access to a customer base and or a demographic in order to grow market share, The next is channel extension. That is to gain new channels to market for an existing product or service offer. Then you have product extension. This is to gain new products or services for offer to an existing market and or channel, thereby extending market share. Next, you have revenue growth. This is to acquire a similar business offering. It is basically to grow revenue and customer base faster than through organic growth. It's been proven time and again that it's much easier, cost-effective, quicker to acquire something in the marketplace that already pre-exists rather than going through the trial and error process yourself. Then there is brand or positioning acquisition. This is to gain improved market position through a recognized brand or competitive position. Now we'll move on to operational bolt-on. This is to increase capacity and or resources through infrastructure capabilities, intellectual property, and or human resources when the acquisition is more cost and time effective than building them organically. Next, and you'll see buying a job. This is where an individual buys a business to gain access to an income stream and potentially long-term equity growth. Okay, well, we've still got time today for a question or two from our listeners. So first I'll grab this one, which just came to me yesterday from Raj. He asks, what IT issues do you encounter during mergers and acquisition? Well, this is a great question, Raj, and one of these days I actually want to do an entire broadcast about this. Let me start out by saying that even if your role within the M&A process doesn't have anything to do with the technologies, you still need to have at least a perspective from 30,000 feet to understand the depth and breadth of what occurs, as well as being aware of the issues that are inherent within the normal course of mergers and acquisition activities as it relates to IT. There's a very wise man out there named Chris Werbe. He is with securityboulevard.com. And Chris says that software-defined networks can be an efficient way to blend networks without compromising security. Let's define something that we're going to discuss here. SD-WAN. That's SD-WAN. SD-WAN is an acronym for software-defining networking in a wide area network. SD-WAN simplifies the management and operation of a wide area network by decoupling the network hardware from its control mechanism. You'll understand more about that as we move through. But with that understanding, we all know that mergers and acquisitions inherently create times of growth, opportunity, and excitement for enterprises. But what they can also create are challenges from the perspective of IT source resources and staffing. The IT structure is critical to M&A success and the speed of integration, as it often dictates how the acquiring company can accommodate the newcomer, meet new bandwidth needs, and securely unite the companies without significantly increasing complexity, capital expense, and the need for additional staff support. A professional services company can provide insight into how on-demand networking capabilities create an elastic infrastructure that accelerates M&A without exhausting resources. Using a software-defined network platform and extending SD-WAN managed services are also an effective approach for activating and integrating assets quickly without compromising security in the existing environment. You need to understand the challenges of integration, how companies can overcome it, and learn about several key software-defined capabilities that enable aggressive and effective M&A strategies. I mentioned kind of understanding this from a 30,000-foot approach, even if you have nothing to do with the IT aspect of your merger or acquisition. The bottom line is here, you could take on two entirely different operating systems, inventory systems, CRMs, retailing, networking. You can imagine all of the different types of software and programs and platforms that are out there, and merging two that are completely different can be very complex and sometimes overwhelming. It's just important to understand what others within your company may be going through to get this accomplished and what you may see as a result of that. To further emphasize this, let's take a look at acquisition. It is a cesspool of IT challenges, and it very well can be. The union of two companies is no simple marriage. The consolidation of assets unites multiple, typically very different IT networks, each with a plethora of underlying technologies, vendors, and security approaches, and even policies that are in place. Intellectual data must be consolidated. Sensitive customer data must be united without compromising privacy, and new users must be assimilated, all without major disruption to the employee and the customer experience. You really need to be sensitive to that. After M&A, enterprises may be left with complex IT infrastructures formed from the integration of different technology and compute platforms, which can make overall performance, optimization, and security credentials disjointed and difficult to manage. A major hotel chain acquisition may expose why companies can fall victim to a data breach. In November of 2018, one hotel company reported the breach, and a Forbes article asserted that the complexities stemming from combining data were most likely the culprit. With class action lawsuits and a damaged brand, many executives were reminded of just how important it is to thread security precautions throughout the integration process. So using that as an example, you can understand how really important it is to make sure that the IT process is combined smoothly, effectively, and kind of makes sense going forward for everyone involved, whether you work for the companies that were merged or acquired, or whether you are a consumer, or even an outside individual on the supply chain network. So, the keys to M&A success on the technical requirement side of things look something like this. And, as a true secret to M&A IT success, segmentation requires core technical capabilities. This involves software-defined networks that I talked about before, and SD-WAN-empowered enterprises to more easily provision virtual private network environments without adding management headaches and IT complexities. These offer the most advanced orchestration and automation tools. Some providers will even allow customers to create an unlimited number of segments. Be sure to ask how many segments you can create without increasing cost and complexity. The next is centralized network management and unified portals that allow you to view network and application performance data for the entire WAN in real time, no matter how many segments you have. Online dashboards give enterprise IT firms the transparency and service controls they need to make adjustments on the fly. So it's easy to ensure the newly segmented networks are receiving the support, bandwidth, and security parameters needed to operate efficiently and effectively without being a drag on the other systems. In highly segmented environments, security services included managed detection and response, machine learning, and behavioral analytics become requirements because automation and outsourced security monitoring reduce the intricacy and multiplicity of micro-segmentation. That was really a mouthful, right? Well, service providers are also versed in how to design and apply stringent security policies to the acquired company's network to rapidly identify and mitigate threats. Ultimately, it's not just about the capability to segment the network, but rather the wider ecosystem of services and support needed once your network reaches a level of M&A sophistication. Much like network segmentation empowers the union of two companies, the division of responsibilities will enable your IT systems and teams to expand without significantly impacting risk and cost. Okay, that was quite a bit to digest, but I do have another email that we received from Cynthia. Cynthia asks, once we have signed an LOI or an LOU, what are our next steps? What does that really mean in the course of an M&A transaction? So first, let's define LOI and an LOU. LOI is a letter of intent, and an LOU is a letter of understanding. Although they can be somewhat different, they're basically one and the same. But regardless of which one you signed, it doesn't mean you have a deal yet. In many ways, that's just the starting point so that you're all on the same page. It's the beginning of the process. As a seller, this isn't a done deal until you actually receive money or something of value for the deal. As a buyer, it's not done until all the agreements have been signed and there's actually a closing and the money has been paid to the seller. Basically, you just keep moving forward as if you haven't made any deal. Keep running your business, run your day-to-day operations exactly the same, and focus on your day-to-day operations. Sometimes during this time period, there'll be certain aspects of due diligence, which we've talked about before in previous broadcasts. You'll want to make sure that those are done timely and accurately. But for the most part, this is just getting everybody, like I said before, on the same page and making sure that there's no confusion. That's why it's in writing. And it is a significant sign that there is some interest on both sides to get this deal done. Well, this has been a very busy and productive year for us so far, with the addition of 3 new senior executive advisors. We're continuing on the process of website updates and preparations for our newsletter. We will have some exciting international client announcements coming up in the next week or so. We're also preparing some major upgrades to our marketing materials and SEO activities. We hope to have all of this completed prior to the end of the year. Another thing coming at the end of this year will be a broadcast that recaps 2019 and looks forward to 2020. We'll probably run that featured topic maybe on December 20th, looking ahead a little bit. Well, we are running out of time today, so I want to take a moment to thank our listeners for checking out what we've had to say and participating in today's program. Please join us next Friday at noon Eastern, where we will continue to explore events and processes within our industry and then provide you with valuable interpretation of what that means to you and your business. Keep sending in your questions to be addressed on the air. And again, if I don't get to them during the broadcast, I'll personally email you with answers to your questions. Thanks again for listening to M&A Today. Have a great weekend. We'll talk again next week on Friday.